Part 1, Chapter 14, The Living Gospel of Freedom. As already mentioned, there are in this world millions of spirit spark atom entities. A dividing line runs across the ranks of those touched by the cosmic light. Beneath this dividing line are those countless groups of seekers who, though they possess a spirit spark atom and consequently find no inner peace, still hold fast to dialectical values out of ignorance, lack of adequate instruction, intentional misleading, and their own fixation on earthly things. Above the dividing line are the spirit spark atom entities who start reacting to the calling light of the universal brotherhood, driven by distress of the soul, insight, and on the basis of their own decision. These spirit spark atom entities above the dividing line can be divided into three groups, into three states of being. The Bible denotes them as the faithful, the called, and the chosen ones, or it distinguishes between their states as follows. 1. The birth of John, the first linking with the liberating light, the foretaste of freedom. 2. The gift of prophecy of John, entry into the service of freedom. 3. John has become the Baptist, the elementary oneness with freedom. Whoever knows how to awaken the liberating faith in the universal mysteries in his heart, thus ascends the first step of liberation in Christ and thereby joins those above the dividing line. This liberating faith has nothing to do with bowing before intellectual authority or being dragged along by mystical emotions or the ego drive of self-maintenance. Know this first elementary stage of liberation demonstrates itself microcosmically, anatomically, and physically. Therefore, it is said that the truth, reality, must set us free. One can convince oneself of many things. One can also mystify other people for a long time, but only facts can be of use to the pupil and give him inner certainty. It is a matter here of a new anatomical state which first demonstrates itself in the heart and head sanctuaries and then, carried by the blood, spreads throughout the whole state of being. Though a heightened vibration of the Christ atom, and with the aid of the thymus, a new blood power is set free, a new hormone. This new blood power streams first through the Jordan, or lesser blood circulation, reaches the head sanctuary and its centers. The new state of faith certainty thus becomes a fact as soon as the Luciferian or reflecting atom in the head sanctuary begins to show some ability or inclination for projection, e.g., when it begins to react positively to the impulses of the Christ atom. If this ability is present, then at that moment Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, the new blood power, the new hormone of the Christ atom, can assert its influence in the entire system controlled by the dialectical eye. Jesus then commences his course through the little world of the pupil. These processes become possible as soon as the dialectical eye recedes both psychologically and physically before the Christ eye. The pupil perishes in Jesus the Lord. John is imprisoned and beheaded. The threefold process of liberation is based on this physical foundation. Whoever ascends the first step on this path will immediately and spontaneously give evidence of it in all his activities, in his mode of life, without any coercion entirely, as a matter of course. This whole path is described for us in the Gospel with utmost precision. In spite of all the mutilations to which the Bible has been subjected, the truth still radiates through all deliberately created veils. But you can read this truth only when the Gospel is written in your heart. Then you will not waste another word on all the mystical and occult one-upmanship, but at most smile about it. For whoever is able to read the truth in the only possible way is your companion in the Christian mysteries. The mode of life of yourself and this companion are then identically focused, and any misunderstanding is excluded. Then there is unity, freedom, and love. And whoever is and acts differently, whether in an intellectual or a mystical sense, and whose mode of life gives testimony of this, has not yet met Jesus, the Lord, at his Jordan of life. And this encounter cannot be forced. So be still, do not waste words, radiate love, and be wise as the serpents. The great brotherhood of man does not need to be founded. It already exists in all those who are above the dividing line. You will be acutely aware of this as soon as the gospel is written in your own heart. When a pupil approaches the spiritual school as a result of true inner need, in the absolute conviction that he must leave this nature in order, as a microcosm, to enter the other nature, and he arrives at this insight on the basis of the endless fire of experience as a seeker below the dividing line, then he is born as John. This is the first page of the Gospel. After some time, the Christ atom begins via the thymus to produce a new blood power. Jesus, the Lord, the Saviour, is born. This is the second page of the Gospel. John grows and Jesus grows. The living idea of the enduristic path ripens within John and he gives evidence of it. The tarnished mirror of the reflective atom in the head sanctuary becomes clearer and clearer. The covering is removed from the countenance and the newborn Jesus grows in power and grace. This is the third page of the Gospel. And how can it be otherwise? At the appointed time, John sees Jesus coming across the Jordan. The new blood power can assert itself in the head sanctuary in a liberating sense. John baptizes Jesus and then recedes. The eye of nature gives itself captive to the self of the Christ nature. The fourth page of the Gospel has been etched into the blood. John is imprisoned but is affected neither by mystical emotion nor by intellectual speculation. He is the objective observer who keeps himself free of all fantasizing. Therefore, when the new blood power seethes through all the fibers of his being and Jesus has begun his travels and called his disciples, John sends a messenger to Jesus with the urgent question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we wait for another?" Can you sense that by posing this problem in one's own self, a continual check is maintained on possible tricks of the imagination, on sabotage by the reflection sphere? Thus the pupil reads the fifth page of the Gospel in his own system. Jesus continues to call his 12 disciples and to confer upon them his first teachings. Who are those 12 disciples? They are the 12 pairs of cranial nerves which spread out from the head sanctuary like branches of a tree, controlling and directing the whole system. If there is to be a new state of consciousness, then the new consciousness, the new soul, must also know, direct, and drive the whole being. The 12 pairs of cranial nerves must therefore be placed entirely under the control of the new blood power. They must be fully attuned to it in order thus to be made true servants, disciples of the Lord. Thus the pages of the Holy Book of Life are successively turned after the seals have been broken. All these pages bear witness to the way of the cross, to the perishing of the old, I being in Jesus the Lord, and this whole process is written on the tablets of the heart. We see clearly that this evangelical Via Crucis is not an intense suffering, a horrible dream with emaciation of the body and sorrowful, emaciated faces, but a path of joy, a joyful message, etching its consecrated language indelibly into the being of the pupil. It is a path leading to resurrection. While the earthly dwelling is thus broken up according to plan, a new house of God grows out of the heavens, one made not with hands, namely, the image of the immortal man. When this image has been conceived, born, has grown, and comes to maturity, the candidate is told, "It is to your benefit that I depart, and I will send the Comforter to you, the Holy Spirit. He will bear witness to me." And Jesus leaves. The new harmonious force ceases its work after completing its task. Now the last, most sublime page of the Holy Gospel is written, if by the sound of trumpets and the force of a gale, for the immortal, the imperishable, the newborn one, enters the being prepared by Jesus and fills the whole house. The Pentecost fire starts to blaze. The true apostolic circle is formed. And now the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, has been unlocked. The apostolic circle reaches the whole world with its glad tidings and writes letters to the seven communities of Spirit Spark entities, explaining the process, calling, supporting, and rescuing. So ultimately, a countless multitude is formed, clad in clean white robes, redeemed from the blood of the earth. The golden evangelical message engraved in hearts ends with a prayer for all those belonging to the great brotherhood of man, but who have not yet come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. This means, brothers and sisters, standing at the beginning of the revelation of salvation in Christ. May the blood power of the Christ atom in you soon set you free. May the gospel be written in your hearts from beginning to end, to the very last letter. This is the apostolic blessing of the apostolic circle, the inhabitants of the third temple. This blessing differs from all others by its power. Here is no mere pious wish. No, this prayer is even able to touch an almost petrified and numb heart, as long as there is but a small spark of life present. Whoever is awakened by this heart cry with the last words of the gospel must himself begin with the first words, because only truth, reality, are able to set him free. Perhaps you now realize what reading the gospel means. Perhaps you now understand what preaching the gospel means. Perhaps you can now make a real resolution. The resolution definitely to leave behind everything that natural mysticism and occultism have spoiled in you. This lies piled up in your heads and your hearts as immense ballast. You must clean your temple of this. This is a page of the gospel, which you must not forget. Remember that the path to liberation is a path of self-freemasonry. By nature, you perhaps act on the assumption that you will be the subject of a special, personal, hierophantic effort, that at a given moment, you will be abundantly supplied with masters and adepts. This, however, is not the case. A fundamental, universal, cosmic Christ radiation exists. Yesterday, today, and billions of years ago, this radiation was and is exactly the same. It does not change. This universal grace is and remains eternally unchanged unto itself. It is the same radiation which disquiets the spirit spark atom entities below the demarcation line, urging them in despair through the world, and which leads the candidate pupil into the immovable kingdom. It is the same force which causes the sinful seeker to fall down on his mistaken path and moves the apostolic circle to so-called miracles. In this universal radiation, the entire work must and can be accomplished. Whoever asks for more, who demands more, and who passionately craves for salvation, to him are spoken the following words: "Let my grace suffice." And you should especially remember this page of the gospel, for if you forget this primary law of liberation, your fate will be like that of the countless people who did not yet know or have forgotten again. Then the reflection sphere will hasten toward you. Then hordes of masters and adepts will come. Then everyone can have what he wishes. Then, too, a message will be written in your hearts, but it is the language of suffering. It is the great masquerade, the miserable parody of the gospel of freedom. A via dolorosa, as intended by the earthly hierarchy, will then be your revelation of salvation. Anyone can train himself for this hierarchy with its countless subdivisions, receive freedom from the wheel at the expense of others, and ascend the highest regions of the reflection sphere, the core of the Luciferian field. It is a state of being which must continually be defended. In order to ascend to this Devashan, one must go paths requiring the way of immense suffering, of personality culture, and personality division. In the past, there were people who realized and taught that this devachan is actually the pinnacle of delusion, and that the candidate finally must also voluntarily renounce this so-called eternal heaven. The spiritual school, however, shows you a better way, a more efficient way, a path of joy and happiness, the universal path. It is the path on which, by self-Freemasonry, by self-annihilation, one raises oneself directly into the universal extra-cosmic radiation field. May this unshakable grace suffice you. Follow the way of the universal Christ mysteries and proclaim these glad tidings by writing the liberating gospel in your heart.